Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
But one of the things as we see, the focus so far is the fact that from just first read through, we glance over it, we kind of see, okay, so Kish lost his donkeys. He turns to his son, Saul, look it, donkeys got out, take one of the ranch hands with you and go look for the donkeys, basically. So they get out there and they're out milling around. Now, they're out looking for the donkeys, fixated. We got to find the donkeys. Oh, wow, it's starting to get late. We're not finding the donkeys. Better head back to the house. Dad's going to be worried about us. You know, it's just going through, and they're just focused on, we got to deal with this. The servant goes, oh, dude, I don't know. I'm thinking he's probably concerned. For you, you're the son. It might go okay for you, but I don't want to show up back at the house without the donkeys. You know, I'm just thinking in his mind, you know, he's probably thinking, I don't know. What's wild to me is this is really natural situations for them, and yet providence is at work. Man, that's so important for you and for me. Providence is at work. God doing things behind the scene. God at work. God stirring. God making situations, setting things up. God is doing something all the time. We can't always see that. We don't always know that. I think reading through Esther is a great example of that. You know, God is really not even mentioned in that, and yet he's behind the scene, that whole little book that's written of Esther. And God's not even mentioned. That's amazing, isn't it? And yet it's all about God. And all the events have to do with God. And yet he's not even really mentioned. Here, he's gone out to look for the donkeys. He's fixated on finding the donkeys. They kind of take a little bit of this detour in that, hey, the servant guy had this idea. Hey, man, maybe we ought to go talk to the seer guy. You know, he hangs out with God, and he seems to have insight. Maybe we can rap with him, find out what he knows, and see if maybe he can help us point us the right direction. He might have insight as where our donkeys are. Great, sounds good. They end up going down there. He's got a few shekels. He's going to give them that, blah, blah, blah. They get to that point. They end up, though, they come across the seer. Now, it's not perchance that they stumbled across it. Providence was at work. God was moving behind the scene all this time, orchestrating the events and the situations. Why? Why? Because God has a plan. God has a plan for his people. God has a purpose for his people. God is at work. Now, just because you and I don't see it and don't always know exactly what that is, if we're seeking the Lord, I love that idea of delighting ourselves in the Lord in the Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We always say, oh, you know, the Lord gives us the desires of our heart, but we forget that first part sometimes. Delight yourself in him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God knows your needs, he says. Jesus said, you know, the Father knows what you need. You know, he knows what you have, but man, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. The kingdom, eternal things. Seek first the Lord, his righteousness. What is his righteousness? His righteousness is found in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what was imputed to you. That was what it was imputed to me, his righteousness. You know, and we're to seek Jesus first, and then all these things get added into our lives, the things that we need, the things that we must have and want to have, and God cares for us in that special way. So as we look at this, one of the first things that the seer, if we look at him, is just kind of representation, a type of the Holy Spirit bringing guidance and direction to Saul. They're approaching him looking for that. We would approach God looking for that. What is the first thing that happens, though? He says, hey, look it, man. Come, let's have some fellowship. The Spirit knows really what's going on better than we could ever know what's going on, because it is the Spirit of the living God. He says, man, come, let's just fellowship. Almost, let's just spend some time together. Let's just do that. Let's break bread. Let's hang out. Eat with me today, verse 19. Hang out. Just spend some time with me. I like it as we get into verse 20. Don't worry about the donkeys. Got those covered. They've been found. Don't worry. Don't. Now, isn't this what happens when we come to the Lord? The Spirit brings us in. You know, it doesn't have to be donkeys for us, because probably very few of us are going to, we might lose our doogies, but I don't think we're going to lose our donkeys, you know. That we might, other things might go bad for us, but that's not going to happen. But there's other things. It's interesting to me when you go into Philippians, where it talks about be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You know, and or this word, as we find anxious in there, it's really distracting cares. So it doesn't really matter what it is, but don't get distracted by these other things. What's interesting is they were focused on the donkeys and God was doing some big thing. Now the focus shifts though, doesn't it? It shifts off of the donkeys. He says, come and just hang out with me. We go to God for help. The Spirit says, yeah, cool, man. Just want you to sit back for a minute. Hang out for a minute. Let's spend some time together. Oh, by the way, don't worry about the donkeys. And then he goes on and says, read along with him what he kind of implies to him. He says, latter part of verse 20, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on all your father's house? God's at work. He says, man, there's a plan. There's a plan at work. God's got a plan for your life. There's a plan at work. I think we get so distracted with these trying to find the donkeys. I'm here to find, I gotta fix this problem. I'm coming to God with this problem. I need this problem. God's going, man, this is perfect. That's why I let you have this problem. We do everything we can to insulate ourselves from problems and issues and all this stuff, and all the time God can use those things. God can use those things in your life and in my life to reveal himself to us in ways that we would never, ever, ever see him otherwise. It is wonderful what God can do in those issues when we're out looking, trying to find, solve our problem, find the donkeys. God said, hey, why don't you just sit back for a minute? Hang out with me, fellowship with me, the seer says. Then he says, hey, don't worry about the donkeys, they're found. And then he says, by the way, God's got a plan. God's got a plan for your life. You know, you realize, don't you? You're the pearl of great price. You are the reason that Jesus went to the cross, shed his blood, and is able to, as you read through Revelation, as you see, Jesus is the one and the only one, the only one, the only one, the only one that could possibly ever fulfill this one single purpose. As John falls to the ground, sees the title deed to the earth, and they're saying, who is worthy? Who is worthy? John, the apostle, falls to the ground. His face just goes, oh my, he's just brokenhearted. Who is worthy? Who can break the seal? Who can take this? And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes forward and takes the title deed. Because that's what was purchased. And why did God buy back, as it was said, the whole field? Because he wanted the treasure that was in the field. He bought the field back. You see, Satan gave up his right to control. Satan took the right of control from Adam. Adam gave it up in the garden. God entrusted the earth to Adam. Adam gave it up because Satan ripped him off for it, right? So then who's able to buy back? God wanted, you're the treasure. You're what he wants. He wants to have fellowship with, he wants, hey, will you come sit with me? Will you hang out with me? We forget so quickly of all that it is that God desires. He's got angelic beings that bow down and worship him 24/7 in our time frame, but in his for all eternity, you know. The angels look at what you have going with God and it blows their minds. That's no joke. It just completely blows their minds. They look and they go, my, they don't have to do this. As Christians, they look at you and they look at me. As Christians, man, as people, they don't have to do this, but they choose to come and worship together and adore the Lord. Wow. You know? They just don't get, it's just so inconceivable. It's overwhelming to them as they look at what the church gets to experience, and they just are in awe of the goodness of God's grace. It's awesome, really, really awesome. The next thing, you know, it's not only does God have a plan, but he gathers these others together. If you look on and we see he's got this other group in verse 22 and said, brought them in and sat them down with this group of about 30 others. God wants this group. And again, I love it that Samuel was acting by faith, doing this and providing this environment where they could come and gather in with others and commune. And then let's read on as we go on a little bit further. I liked verse 25 because I think it's kind of a great statement too. After they've gathered together, they've broken bread, they've eaten together, they've hung out, they're fellowshipping, they're experiencing all that, then it's kind of come off and just kind of rest in him. Did you notice that in verses 25 and 26? Just kind of rest in him. And then Samuel says, hey, gets him up kind of early in the morning. Hey, let's get going. We're going to get you out on your way. In verse 27, and as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant to go on ahead of us. And he went on, but you stand here a while that I may announce to you what? The word of the Lord. You just be still. You wait here. Send your guy on. You be still. I want to spend some time with you through the word. What a great, great statement. So God, in this, he's saying to him, hear the word. So it's not just that we want to be drawn in with the Spirit, because we do, but we also, the Spirit draws in and says, hey, come and be in fellowship with the triune Godhead. Come and be in fellowship with us. It says, man, let's just spend time together. Let's commune. He starts to reveal, hey, there's a plan. There's something going on. It wasn't just about the donkeys. It's not just about your problem or the situation that caused you to ultimately go seek God. That's not what it's all about. That can be random for all of us. That is part of your story, and it's wonderful. It's part of each of our stories. But the reality is, it's God's story in your life working through you to be told in a special, unique way only by you. Isn't that wonderful? That's awesome. Everybody's got their story that they should be sharing with somebody else because it's edifying. It builds people up. And then, but before we get too far into that, we find out that, hey, come spend time, commune, let's fellowship. Then it's also, hey, look, at not only is there a plan, but I want you to rest. Don't worry about the donkeys right now. Just what? Hear the counsel of a bunch of other people? No. It says, hear the word of the Lord. And I think that's what the Spirit would minister to us. There's a plan. We're to rest in him and let God work that out. But we need to hear what the Lord would speak to our hearts. And so it kind of unfolds that way. They get to this point. So it seemed like when we got started, it was about the donkeys. At first reading, I'm like, yeah, well, neat. He lost his donkeys, trying to find his donkeys. And you know. But then you start pulling this back and peeling it back. You realize it wasn't just about the donkeys, was it? God was doing a supernatural thing in very natural events. How many of you looked at your day that way? This issue happens, that business thing goes on, this thing falls through, that happens, this goes, you know, all the things that can go on in the course of a day. And I know a lot of us get involved in international events. All of us do. We get involved, not all, but a lot of us get involved in things that can be transactions and things that can even be international, certainly national oftentimes, and we can get caught up in all this stuff and these things. And it doesn't even have to be like that. It can be, man, I'm just trying to get along with my neighbor across the street and trying to keep my kid out of trouble at school. You know, I mean, it can be a lot. Did you realize maybe God's at work in that? Maybe God's supernaturally, naturally trying to get your attention. Because what does he want? You and I to come away with him, spend some time, refocus on what really matters. Oh, I remember not that many months ago, and some of you remember when I was walking around like I was a tree because my neck was all messed up, you know? And I just, I was laid up, man. It was bad for 3 days. That's super, super unnatural, but very natural problems, but super unnatural for me. And I was just laid up. But sometimes, you know, I laid there and I thought, oh man, this is payback. I've been going 7 days a week and not Sabbathing and not paying attention to my relationship like I should in that way, you know, not being respectful of the Lord and just push. And it's a lack of dependence oftentimes on God when we get like that. That's why the Sabbath was established, was so that not just, it was for you and for me, that we would rest in him, that we would trust him, that we'd say, yes, God, you're in control. Let's move on a little bit. Let's read through these next 8 verses, and then we'll backtrack and talk about them just for a moment. Then, after he gave him the word, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? He says, man, you're now king. You're the ruler over Israel. Interesting to me. Well, we won't talk about that yet. When you have departed, we'll just read through it, and then we'll go back and hit it. When you have departed from me today, you will find 2 men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found, and now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worried about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? He's got concern, care, and interest about his son. Then you shall go forward from there, come to the terebinth tree. This is like directions that we give down in southwest Missouri. Turn the big white oak, turn right. When you hit the gravel road, turn left, and then it's on the house on the, yeah, you know. The tree of Tabor. There, 3 men going up to God at Bethel will meet you. One carrying 3 young goats, another carrying 3 loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you 2 loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God. There, the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city, that coming down from the high place with stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, they will be prophesying. Then, verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and to make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. I thought those were great, pretty straightforward, somewhat simple instructions. He goes through initially this process. He hears the word of the Lord. Then he's anointed. I like this idea. One of the things that's kind of cool about it, and it does oftentimes go this way, this anointing was something really very private. Even the servant was sent on ahead. It was just the seer and Saul. They were alone together. And it was kind of a private thing in that setting right there as he kind of got this further work dispensed to him. And he would know what was being said, not fully understand, but he would know some type of direction that's happening here. Then this thing starts to unfold. We pick up, I found about 5 things. There may be a few more, but I found about 5 to keep it simple. That really shows us how the believer can have, any believer, it's not, you don't have to be the ruler of anything. You can just have a dog that you take care of and you're the ruler of that. But that, this isn't about being rulers of anything. This is about being effective in your service with God. That's what this is about. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, how do I become more effective just in my walk? How can I be more effective in my journey with Jesus? And I think this gives us some keys. In verse 2, after this anointing has taken place, there's this awareness, wow, I've heard about the purpose. I've heard about the plan. All those things that we talked about in the previous chapter have unfolded. There's something more going on. I've kind of rested. I've had good fellowship. You know, I've experienced communion with other believers. All these things that happened, they were awesome. But how do I have further ministry? Well, how does that happen through my life as a Christian? Well, it kind of gets told to us right here. Verse 2, the first thing we notice as we look at this is the Father cares. The Father cares about what's going on in your life. Your Heavenly Father knows right where you are, and He cares about you. Basically, what shall I do about my son? You know, he's concerned. He's got interest. He's caring for and interested in what's happening. And I think it's important for you and me. I wrote for myself on this is, man, we need to know that the Father knows where we are and what's happening in our lives. Man, that's the first thing that I noticed right there. The next thing I find is in verses 3, 4, and 5. Then he says, you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There, three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a wineskin. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments and tambourine and a flute and a harp with them, and they will be prophesying. So this next thing you see is it develops this relationship. We see the elements, don't we, there? We've got the bread and the wine. We see the elements of the relationship that happens to us because of the Son, because of who Jesus Christ is in our lives. We see that relationship being developed right here for us as we see now the Son. So we've got the Father's interest in our lives. We're sure of that. We've got, and the Spirit's showing us, drawing us into this, and we've spent time, we've heard the word, we're kind of soaking all this in. Now, as God's sending us out, he says this effective ministry is going to happen as we're waiting on the Lord that these things, as we're on our journey, these things begin to happen. We meet up. Now we're shown the wineskin, the loaves of bread. Receive some of these things. Take the loaves with you. And then I love it that there's this next thing in verse 5, this latter part is, not only do you experience this, but it really leads you into true worship. That we really need to enter into true worship. If we're going to have effective ministry, not only do we need to be sure of the Father's care for us and know that we know that, but that we have this relationship with the Son, which really leads us into a deeper communion, right? Because it's got the elements there for communion, and it draws us into good, healthy worship, adoration of who He is. Thank you so much for listening today. This is Pastor Jim, and I'm really blessed that you've tuned in, and I hope that God's really doing a fresh new work in your life. And oftentimes, when we hear messages like today's message, the Lord starts to tug on our hearts, and he wants to hear from us. He wants our response. And that's just a prayer, a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you need to repent and turn your life back over to the Lord. Maybe you just need to give your life to Jesus, and you've never done that before. This is your time. This is your opportunity. God's word goes out, and He's making Himself known, and He wants you to live and have everlasting life. Incline your ear and come to Him. And so Jesus is calling out to you, and it's your opportunity to respond and call back to Him and just open that door in your heart. It's a simple response in prayer. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. If you just pray this simple prayer of faith, God will come into your life and make your heart His home. Jesus, I ask that you would do just that, make my heart your home, that you would come in and forgive me of my sin. I want to ask you to be my personal Lord and Savior. I know this isn't about religion, it's about a relationship, and I want to start that relationship. You're calling out to me. I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, I'm in need of spiritual help, and so I'm calling out to you, God, asking that you would help me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making yourself known to me. And Lord, I just want to receive that gift of everlasting life. I want to thank you for it right now. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.